Do you know that God has a great plan for your life? And do you know that He has made provisions for all that you need to fulfill His ordained plans for you? Join us as we journey into God's Word to discover and maximize our God-given destinies. Get set for radical transformation as we listen to the lead pastor, Destiny Impact Church, Pastor Demola Awoyeli, in this life-changing message. Your life will never remain the same again, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Not just in jobbing. So as you work in a job, alright, ensure that you are learning what it takes to be on your own, if I may say it that way. Alright, I'm sorry for using my oga here for an example. When the company that we're doing, we're working IT folded up, he started his own company. So I seated there as a CEO. Amen. Praise God. He started his own company. In fact, when he was working for the company, it looks as though he was being used. But he was wise and smart enough. I don't believe that you work for somebody for a few number of years and they retrench you and you can't start something. So that's what he's doing. And I don't know now, but the last time I checked, he's working for an international organization and he's at his own business. Praise God. So he's a blessed man. Hallelujah. You need to be like him. Praise God. Alright. Hallelujah. So why do we work or do jobs? So that we can learn. Alright, that's why the mindset of somebody who is working, the use of word work is job, who is working, because he knows that he has a future in that industry, will be different from somebody who is working just to collect a salary. The person who is teaching in a school now, who is teaching because he or she knows that he will own a school one day, he will not behave like other teachers. Even though the salary may be nothing to write home about, but he's getting something beyond the salary. He's staying close to the proprietor, trying to learn the nitty-gritty of the business. He doesn't complain about the things that other people are complaining about. He doesn't just do just enough. You know, some people, they do just enough. They do, like I teach us in this church before, don't go to work only to give them what their salary says. They are paying you 12,000 naira and you are giving them a 12,000 naira job or involvement. And you hear that everywhere. People will say that, why would I kill myself on top of 12,000 naira? I am not working for the salary. I'm working to make something meaningful out of my life. Because if somebody is paying you 12,000 naira, you must not, because of that, reduce your contribution to that company. Because if you reduce your contribution, you are reducing your own future. Do you understand? Do you understand? Alright, so because nobody actually owes you a salary, it's just an opportunity everybody owes you. Salary may be small, but thank you for the opportunity, because the opportunity actually is what you need. Praise God. Alright, so I don't know if I've been able to do justice to that. Praise God. Alright, practical tips to becoming employable. Maybe this is what somebody wants to learn. Practical tips to becoming employable. Pastor, you have said a lot about being employed, getting a job. How can I, you know, position myself to get in a job? Practical tips to becoming employed. Number one is know what you want. Know what you want. One thing I hate to hear people say is that, Pastor, just any job, I'm fine. Don't ever say just any job. I understand that the circumstances around, they want you to fall for just any job. Alright, I'm thinking of balancing. There are some times you have to pick up just any job, at least to start up with. Do you understand? I know you are a graduate of physics or mechanical engineering and you have gotten a job that maybe looks like something that does not look like what you study. Alright, but you may want to start with that. But in looking for a job, don't have this mindset that just any job. If somebody calls you and says, Demola, what kind of job you want? So just any job. I won't give my job to somebody that just wants just any job. So, one of the practical tips to becoming employable is to be definite about what you really want. I understand that our society most of the time disappoints people. People now don't have plans again, because the plan they've been having since 1929, the plan have not materialized. Somebody left school and is having his mind, I want to work in company and he has tried all he could and he didn't get anything. So we are forced to making do with what is available. In fact, they say it in this language that when the preferable is not available, the available sometimes is preferable or something like that. Of course, that is not the language of excellent people. Do you understand? So we have got to define what we really want. So one of the practical tips to getting a job is to know what you want. So don't just say any job is not job, because life favors the decided. All right, one thing the advantage we have by defining what you want is that you begin to attract relevant opportunity, because you cannot find what you don't define. Do you understand? You will discover that the moment you say this is the kind of job I want, it looks as if you start seeing opportunities in that direction almost everywhere. You open a newspaper and you open the back, you saw vacancies, so and so. That thing has always been there, but because you have defined it, now you can find it. Do you understand? Do you understand? So I want to encourage us young people, have a clear-cut definition of what you really want. I want a job in a school. I want a job as an desk officer. I want a job in the bank. I want a job with the ministry, federal government, parastatal. I want a job in telecoms. I want a job in whatever. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 15:10 says, labor of the foolish wearies every one of them, because he does not know how to go to the city. He does not know how to go to the city. He does not know how. It's not definite. It's not defined. Praise God. Number two, know what you can offer. Know what you can offer. Nobody is useless. And if I may say, in knowing what you can offer, can you for some minutes or seconds look away from your certificate? And I will explain that, because most of the time we define ourselves by our certificate. And there are some times you pick up your certificate and you really cannot make anything meaningful out of it. Certificate is a paper. Amen. See, somebody says that, what can you offer? I have 2-1 in physics. That's not what you can offer. 2-1 in physics is not what you can offer. Do you understand? Do you understand? So we need to sit down and ask ourselves, what can I offer? And what you can offer can be the experience you have had somewhere some time ago. It can be the skills, like I told us the testimony of one of our brothers that got a job in Lagos. And I was asking him, your job, is it based on your certificate or based on your skill? Say, pastor, it's based on my skill. Because if you go for an interview, nobody is as, interested in your grade as they are in what you can offer. So if somebody asks you, Demola, welcome to this company, just in 15 minutes, tell us what you can offer. Don't say, I have 2-1 in physics. They've already put that in your resume or your CV. Do you understand? They want you to bamboozle them for the first 15 minutes what you can do for them. And like I told us, you may not really know what you can do for a company until you are going to study that company. Alright? You want to work, alright, or teach in an international school that are using both Cambridge and whatever curriculum. Yourself, can I really offer this? Have I gone on the internet to really have a look as to what that curriculum looks like? So let's assume you have done that and you go for an interview, or you are privileged to meet with the proprietress of an international school and they ask you, what can you offer? You start talking based on those things. Not that they ask you, what can you offer, and you have nothing to say. So what you can offer can be in form of your experience, can be in form of your talent, your skills, your gift, and of course form of the education you have got. If you're a mechanical engineer, obviously you can offer something. Alright? Praise God. So I can do engineering design. I can help you design this or that. If you're a building engineer, if somebody asks you, what can you offer? Tell them I can manage sites. Am I correct? Or something like that. Tell them I can interpret designs and guide technicians or artisans to be able to implement it. That is what you actually studied, really. But if you don't know how to package it, making it something you can offer, nobody will be willing to employ you. So ask yourself, what can I offer? Can I say again, nobody is useless? I know sometimes if you have looked for a job for some time, you begin to have this demeaning look on yourself as though, maybe I'm good for nothing. Nobody is good for nothing. Even though I've been away from job for 4 years now, if I go up and interview in a telecoms firm or whatever, I know what I can offer. Hallelujah. I know what I can offer. I'm not looking for job, but I'm saying I know what I can offer. So even if you have been without a a job, maybe in your field of operation, understand that you are not useless. Don't make joblessness make you look down on yourself. Do you understand? I know I may not be talking to some of you who are in church this morning. Somebody might be listening to this teaching. Hear God's word today, you can offer something. Say you can offer something. Maybe I should need to encourage somebody. Don't look at what you cannot do. Look at what you can do. Do you understand? Because in attending interview, you must emphasize your value. You must emphasize your worth. I know sometimes they want to come up with what, these are the things we want you to do. Well, this is what I can do. Because an employer is looking for what you can do, not what you cannot do. Praise God. Number two, let me run because I still have a lot to share. Did you get something? Say I'm useful. Because the righteous is like a palm tree. Alright? And every part of the palm tree is useful. So I'm useful in the name of Jesus. Number three, source for opportunities intelligently and intentionally. Don't forget we are discussing practical tips to becoming employable. Number three, source for opportunities intelligently and intentionally. What do I mean by intelligently? A lot of people source for opportunities haphazardly. Alright? It's like somebody wants to go and buy pepper and is to the store where they are selling suit and tie. That is not an intelligent search. Because the kind of job you are looking for, there are platforms where you can get opportunities. Because the reason why some of us seem discouraged is that we are asking the wrong people. We are going the wrong place. Alright? Just look at that analogy. You want to go and buy pepper or palm oil and you are going to place who are selling shoe. They will keep turning you down. We don't have pepper here. We don't have pepper here. Am I correct? And the more they keep telling you don't have pepper here, you'll be discouraged. But you are not sourcing for that opportunity intelligently. Even though we know that in the country, in Akure, in Ondo, in the country, job seems scarce. But anybody that must get a job must be intelligent about his search. I was asking us how many of us are on LinkedIn. Because most of us here are graduates, or some of us, if not most of us, all of us are graduates. How many of us are on LinkedIn? The only place you know is so is Facebook, Instagram. There's no job there. There might be, but the kind of job you get on Facebook, Instagram is not the kind of job that you opportunity will get on LinkedIn. That's an intelligent search. That you join LinkedIn not just to while away time, but to build your professional network. Do you understand? That's intelligent search. Looking for the opportunities where they really are. Praise God. Alright, then you must search, I said, source for opportunities intelligently and intentionally. A lot of people are not intentional about their getting a job. Without being proud, if I want to get a job between now and the next 1 week, I will get it. I will just be intentional about it. But people are not intentional. Alright, they are not intentional. They just wake up, well, if job comes, there is no way you can be intentional about getting a job in a month. You won't get it. Because that sense of intentionality will push you to do stuff, meet people, do stuff. You can wake up if you are in Lagos or wherever there are jobs that are. You can wake up every morning hitting the road looking for a job. You can't last for more than 30 days without getting one. But you know, we don't do it intentionally. We just say, tell me there's opportunity. No, some people will not tell you there's opportunity. You need to stand up to go and search for it. You have 2-1, you have first class or you have master's degree, and you are waiting that somebody will come and employ you. Alright, put on your suit and tie, eat the road, amen, hallelujah, eat the road. Sometimes you may have to get to where people are hanging out professionally. Get to the highland, go to some eatery, sit down, alright. Don't sit down like somebody who is hungry, amen, or who is coming to beg for something. Dress well, eavesdrop on people's conversation, alright, intelligently. Alright, if the atmosphere permits you to exchange contact, I'm so and so, I'm this, I'm that, and all of that, you never can tell. So that sense of intentionality is important because from my years of pastoring and experience, I know that a lot of people are not intentional about getting a job. They are not intentional. And me as a pastor, I don't take those people serious. If you are intentional about getting a job, I will join you. But if you are the type that I'm the one reminding you, but when you say I'm the one reminding you, you don't really need a job. If you really need a job, it's not the pastor that should be reminding you about job. You are the one that said, Pastor, that statement alone makes me know that this person is interested in what? In getting a job. Because opportunities abound where? See, opportunities abound everywhere. But most times, opportunities will not present themselves as opportunities. Do you understand? Sometimes they will present themselves as problems, alright? They will present themselves as challenges. But understand that if you are intentional, you will unmask those challenges and you'll be able to discover the opportunities that are bound in them. So then in intentional side, don't be a loner. Alright? Don't be what? A loner. Get in touch with people. Get in touch with people. You have classmates, alright, that you finish together. Not everybody is suffering. I told you last week. Amen. Not everybody is jobless. Some people are gainfully employed. Hallelujah. They are gainfully employed. Because sometimes we look at other people with the lens of our own predicament. So I don't have a job. You assume everybody don't have a job. Alright? I'm teaching in a school. I'm collecting 12K. I wish I get somewhere better. So maybe this is where everybody... I'm not a lot of people are in your shoe. But a few people are not in your shoe. So if you get in touch with them, alright, you'll be able to leverage on that relationship at least to get something. I understand that joblessness can make somebody to be inward focused. Alright, you are not encouraged to interact with people. You have friends who are work. Like I told you, your friends are posting stuff on Facebook, Instagram of themselves under AC tight office with a laptop. Don't feel intimidated. Do you understand? I understand that you must have a very high self-esteem. Don't let anybody's success intimidate you. Rather, let it encourage you. Do you understand? That if these guys that managed to finish with second class Noah or third class can be, I mean, with my 2-1, there is hope for me. Do you understand? But most times, when you see those pictures online, your heart sinks. Your heart must not sink. As a pastor, I have friends who are doing in quote much better than me in ministry. Am I intimidated? No. When we hang out to talk, I learn from them. Do you understand? But if you now feel intimidated, you now start hiding in your shell. You now start getting inward focus. You go for a wedding. You don't want to relate with anybody because you don't want them to ask you, where are you working? If somebody asks you, where are you working, tell them, where I'm putting up for my applications, I will soon get a job. Say it confidently. Don't say, well, we are still struggling. You are not struggling, my brother. Alright? So get in touch with people. Don't be alone. Number 4, very quickly, package yourself and your skills. Package yourself and your skills and what it is you have to offer. Be refined and be defined. Be what? Be refined and be what? And be defined. A lot of us have some skills that are raw. R-A-W. That means that they are not sellable. What you just need to do is to do some refinements. Alright? And that's the difference between a high-paying job and a low-paying job. Sometimes it's not about the difference of skill, but it's about the packaging of the skills. Do you understand? The same thing somebody else is doing collecting 40K, another person is doing the same thing collecting 400,000 because the packaging is different. Do you understand? For some of us who are into business, you understand that people do not really pay for the substance of the product, they pay for the packaging. Do you understand? They pay for the packaging. The same cloth you are sewing and collecting 1,200, another person sews it and collects 6,005. Amen. Packaging, but you even sew better than the person. But the person has packaged himself. Alright, hallelujah. So don't be raw. Tell your neighbor, don't be raw. People are not looking for as again, they are looking for finished product. Gone are those days, some couple of years ago, that they employ you and they will train you for like 2 weeks or 1 month. Or some companies still do that, but a lot of companies don't do that again. And I feel for young people, you see yourself finishing your first degree and you're trying to learn a program, learn, you are paying another money again. I'm bothered. Normally it's supposed to be like that. That's the situation that we have found ourselves in this country. Do you understand? So if you are serving as a core member listening to me, don't squander your alawi. Do you understand? I don't know if they have upgraded you guys to 30,000, even if it is 19,800. If you can save 10K or 15K within 12 more, you have 200K. Use that one at least to package yourself. Learn some skills. Alright? Learn some professional stuff that can give you relevance in the job market. Hallelujah. A lot of graduates are saying they don't have a job. Most people are not employable. I told you of somebody that met me in the office. I told him, kindly help me work on an Excel sheet. He could not work on Excel. You understand? See, today I'm still not happy. I have to take time to start teaching the person. Alright, okay, let's not use Excel. Let's use Microsoft Word. let's draw a table. The guy cannot draw a table. And he's a graduate. For crying out loud, I learned all of those stuff before I enter university. Now that might look simple and small, but even if it is that kind of upgrade you need to do on yourself, it will make you more employable. Do you understand? Do you understand? The last job I left before coming down to Akure, my boss at work loves to give me work. Maybe because I've been involved in ministry, there's a touch of excellence I put in what I do. Sometimes he will bypass the technical head, alright, the engineering head, and give me job that. When my boss is to draft a proposal, I'm the one he will call. Say, Demola, meet me downstairs. Let's sit down together. Proposal that will go to government. National. You sit down. You will say, Demola, go and develop this. He will bypass other people. Why? Because he has seen a sense of excellence in the do stuff. He employed me as an engineer, but he involved me in proposal development in order to catch in on new businesses that the company is trying to work on. Alright? And that's why some of the things we do in church, they are not in vain. Alright? Public speaking is part of it. Some of you should learn how to speak in the public. Praise God. You should learn how to speak. These are skills that they are not respecter of your course of study. Learn to speak. Don't always say, some of us that cannot talk. Ah, you should know to talk. You may not be a, how do I put it now? But you should know to talk. Hallelujah. Let's imagine to an interview panel uninvited. And they wanted to send you out and say, who invited you? And they say, okay, let's give him a chance. Maybe he has something to say. And they give you 15 and you cannot. They give you what? 15 minutes and you cannot what? You cannot bamboozle them. Amen. I said amen. There is a language they use in business. They call it elevator talk. I don't know if you have heard something like that before. Something like that. That means that if you meet with Dangote inside an elevator, you know you don't have 2 hours to talk. 5 minutes is even too much. You may have 1 minute or 2 minutes to talk. Am I correct? What can you say to Dangote in 2 minutes that will give you, that will make him to hand you his business card? Do you understand? When I say, can I see you, sir? Bro, you already seeing him. Don't say, can I see you, sir? We say, no. Sir, can I see you? Yeah. If he hear, can I see you, who listening to you? You are seeing, he said, young man, say what you want to say. And you would think he's proud. He's not proud. People like that, they have value on their time. Praise God. And you know, God is so faithful that there are some things that always be in contact with great people. Elevator is one of them. Elevator is not a respecter of status. Are you following me? Airplane sometimes, except for first class, whatever, but board at the same time. Am I correct? Probably work on the passage at the same time. Why this one goes to business class, this one goes to the other economy and all of that? So we should be able to develop yourself to maximize such brief moments. Alright? So that's part of packaging. And that's the blessing of coming to church. You are involved in committees in church. You know, I've been a team player over the years, since my teenage years. So it was easier for me at my former place of work to head teams. You think that all this coordinate Bible study, live class, Sunday school, coordinate choir, all those things are preparing you already for job markets. But if you are the type that treats such things with levity, you are already making yourself unemployable. Do you understand? So do you understand? Is somebody angry with me this morning? Don't be angry with me. I'm just trying to help you. Say I'm employable. So we need to package ourselves. Alright. And all of that. Number 5. Hire yourself. Say hire yourself. Someone is so strong on my heart. Hire yourself. Don't say nobody has hired us. Nobody. Hire yourself. One of my brothers, civil engineer, finished from school, footer here. He couldn't get a job for about 2-3 years. Alright, and this volunteering comes. He had to give himself brain. I can't afford to be sitting at home looking for a job. He had to go to a company, a construction firm, and say, can I work for you? Don't worry, don't pay me. I don't know where he got that idea from, but that paid off at the end of the day. He worked for that company for like 18 months. He worked so well to the point that the owners of the company, they felt bad. That somebody can be expending energy for a team without paying him. So they started paying him. That's how he got a job. Alright? They started paying him. But he didn't start by saying nobody has hired us. to hire yourself. And in this hire yourself, I'm asking you, can you work for free? Answer that question in your heart. Can you work for what? Like a lot of us want to work for a fee. But to work for a fee, you may have to start by working for free. Alright? And this cuts across every area or aspect of life. Before you start sewing dress or cloth for people for a fee, can you attempt to sew it for free? You are a fashion designer. You are shouting, nobody has ever brought cloth to me. Don't worry. Can you go and meet five of your friends and say, don't worry, the next two, three dresses you want to sew, can I sew it for you? Just pay me for the materials, the thread, the blah, 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 like that. So by the time your handiwork or masterpiece begins to show on people, somebody will begin to ask them, who sews this dress for you? Am I correct? And when they say, who sews this dress for you? You begin to refer them, but refer those people to you. And obviously you start earning a fee. Because our word has told us that if it won't talk about your work, don't do it. No, there are some things we do that won't tell you your work. Amen. But we do it all the same. Because as we work for free, we are honing our skills. Do you understand? As we work for free, we are developing or maximizing our potential. As we work for free, we are widening our horizon. Do you understand? Because when you stay at home, you can't meet anybody, sincerely. Staying at home looking for a job, go out there, mingle. Alright, I don't know how best to say it, but I want to have that understanding that you need to hire yourself. Say, I will hire myself. Hallelujah. Number six, maximize your present job and opportunities. Because I'm aware that quite a number of you listening to me already have a job. But you know, the issue about Nigeria is everybody always wants a better job. Am I right? So this message is relevant to everybody, because even if you have a job, you want something better. Am I correct? So one of the ways to get a better job or to become more or better employable is to maximize your present job and opportunities. Because there is a new job inside your current job. Did you get what I said? There is what? A new job inside your current job. There are new opportunities inside your present opportunities. There are new platforms inside your present platform. Because the things of God are from glory to glory. Anytime God blesses you with something, there is something more in that thing. So for example, if you have a job now, that's not all there is. One of my brothers got a fantastic, alright, be fantastic, as at then, alright. But the way he got it was that, just like, I know Pastor Femi, if not that I'm a full-time, I'm jobless. Amen. If I'm not a full-time ministry, I'll have a job because I know him. Amen. Do you know why? Because the same thing happened to my elder brother. The boss he was working with in his former company, he was very loyal to him. I will talk about that in the second step. He was very loyal to him. So God now helped that boss to get a job, to get a better job in a better company. Do you know what that brother, that man said? He said, Bayo, come in. He quickly opened door. He said, my guy, so when I wanted to get whatever, it was through him I got my placement. He said, this is Demola, that is working and get it again, as it were. Do you understand? So there is a new job in your present job. But most of the time, we treat our present job as if that is all there is. Are you following me? Sometimes we are rude to our superiors. Alright? We are rude to your departmental, to your proprietress or proprietor. Because one of the blessings you will get in maximizing your current job is a blessing of referral. Do you understand that? Somebody will refer you. See, there is one guy that was, we were together. I think that guy can do a good job. Alright, the blessing of referral. So if I were you, that job that you are collecting peanuts, an elephant size salary can still come for you through that job tomorrow. So maximize that job. Don't do a bad job because the salary is not encouraging. Don't abuse everybody because you are not happy with the job. Do well. Praise God. How did, what's his name now? Joseph got the job of a prime minister. He maximized his current relationship with the buckler and the baker of Pharaoh. So one of them was promoted to the palace of Pharaoh and that one forgot him for 2 years. But after 2 years, he remembered him. Am I correct? So it was a relationship he cultivated while he was in the job called prison that paved way for him in the job called what? Prime Minister. To maximize your current job. Number seven, put yourself in a job mode. This is for those who are not working, who are not on a job at the moment. put yourself on the job mode. Don't be jobless. If somebody asks you, what are you doing? Don't say, I'm doing nothing. At every moment of your life, always have something you are doing. Oh, what are you doing? I'm trying to learn a program. Even if you don't have money to enroll, you are sitting down behind your system downloading some materials. You are learning. That's a form of job. Do you understand? For example, if you don't have a job at the moment, I don't believe that you wake up, you sleep by 9 p.m. and you wake up by 11 a.m. the next day. You won't get a job like that. Praise God. You sleep by 9 p.m., you wake up as though you are going resuming job work the next day. You wake up at 5 a.m., do your quiet time till 6, 7, alright, take your breaks. Don't say, I've not brushed my teeth by 11 a.m. because Michelle and Ibitu Mulo. Amen. Alright, wake up, dress up, wear some pep, alright, brush your teeth. Alright, 9 a.m., you are on a work mode. I think that's important for somebody. Because once your job now shows up, you are not trying to be ready, you are already ready. I told you the last job I got, the day I chatted the MD up or the day I resumed the job, because I was prepared for the job. Hallelujah. If you are ever going to submit application somewhere, have all your documents ready. They say, okay, your application is fine, can you bring your credentials? Say, I have it here. Do you understand? Don't say, I'm coming tomorrow. Before you show up tomorrow, somebody might have come and take that job. How can you go for a job application and your credentials are not ready? So when they ask you, bring your credentials, say, I will bring it next week. They say, this one is not ready for a job. Bring your credentials, sir, I have it here. Then you open your file, you present everything, and they look at it. Guy, you can start today, because they see that you are ready. May you be ready. In the name of Jesus. Alright, so it's important, put yourself on a job mode, dress up, take your breakfast, brush your teeth, take your breakfast. If you have a desk or a table at home, sit down on that table. Do you understand? Do you understand? But pastor, what will I be doing? Bring out a book and start writing something. Start going through, no Facebook, your laptop. Start going through stuff. Read materials. You're on a job mode. Do you understand? So when your friend knocks the door and says, guy, you are busy. Yes, I'm busy. But if they see you on the bed sleeping, they will say, guy, can we go out? Go out to where? But because they are not seeing you working, do you understand? You have what one of my friends said, his own office is at home. Because he has his own business, he has not rented his own office space, but he's in his house. He said he carved out a room for his office. So he wakes up in the morning, suit and tie, his own house, alright? In his own house, goes to his office, inside his apartment, but maybe 3-bedroom flat, like one room there is his office. So when friends comes to visit him, the wife says he's at work. Is he not at work? He's at work. But not that he has everybody say you are available. So put yourself on a job mode. Is that clear to somebody? Alright, I think I need to stop here. I didn't know I have up to 15 things to tell you, but I will stop. Okay, let me run through this. Number A, start with what you have. No job is belittling. No job is what? No job is what? Can I say it again? No job is what? You are the one that define your job. Your job does not define you. So what kind of job are you doing? I'm a driver. You know I told you that there are drivers and there are drivers. Before you start looking down on somebody that is a driver, ask him, who is he driving for? I'm the driver of the vice president. You have to take a bow, because there are drivers, there are drivers. So start with what you have. Alright? I know you want a job of 100K, but it's a job of 10K. If that job can help you grow, can help you get better, if the environment is healthy, I encourage you to take up that job. Because inside that job might be other job opportunities. I would rather you take a job of 10K that is healthy than not have a job at all. Because there's something respectful about waking up in the morning and going to work. If you are saying in a compound where there are this mama and everybody, they will respect you. Do you understand? Nobody will ask you, Lulu Ngba, that's between you and them. But that you wake up in the morning, you go in, you know, 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., and you come back by 5 a.m., ekulema, dignifying. Am I correct? Am I correct? And you don't have to announce to everybody 12K long for me. That doesn't concern any. Even if you are working as a volunteer, you don't have to tell anybody, don't pay me. No, don't say that. Number 9, have an ownership mentality or spirit. Have an ownership mentality or spirit. Right? If you are on a job presently, have an ownership mentality. Employers, It will help both those who are already on a job and those who are looking for a job. If you are going for an interview, for instance, the interview panel, they watch your language. Just like a pastor, I watch people's language. Somebody say, so well, come to your church today. He's not my member. If you use the word church, do you understand? So there must be that ownership mentality. So if you're on a job interview, if I were you, I would start personalizing the company already part of the system. I don't know if you get my point. So ownership mentality will help. Even in your current job, don't work as though you are working for somebody, or I own that business. It will give you better platform tomorrow. Number 10, don't appear desperate. I'm sorry, let me rush this, please. I know our time is up for the first seven. Don't appear what? People take advantage of desperate people. Even if you have been looking for a job for 14 years, and you show up at the interview panel, please be calm, be composed. Do you understand? Don't say, if you don't give me this job, my life is finished. Your life is not finished. People want to give job to people who are not desperate. Be calm. People have been victims of scams and scammers today because of desperation. Don't be desperate. I understand that it can be very frustrating looking for a job, but I beg you, that's why you are coming to DIC. Don't be desperate. Because employers don't actually want desperate people. They want people who are calm, who are composed, who are collected. Alright? And not being desperate will also help you not to sell yourself cheap. A job might have a salary of $350,000 for you, but your desperation has sold you out cheap. They say, how much are you going to collect? Where I'm coming from, say $20,000, $50,000 will be fine. You are desperate. Tell them, okay, well, with what I've said so far, how much do you think I want? Can you imagine that? Maybe I will teach you how to attend the interview. The salary question must be answered with wisdom. Do you understand? Tell them, in your own salary scale, for somebody like me, my certificate, and most importantly, what I'm to offer, what is it that I'm worth? Because every employer already has something in his mind. They are not, if they ask how much you collect, don't think that whatever they will give you. But you know, you can lose a job for mentioning a salary that is too low. They can say, okay, we'll get back to you, and they will not employ you. Because your saying that have already defined your mentality for them. So don't fall for that, because not being desperate will help you not to be too quick to mention whatever salary it is you are collecting. Alright, in my final place of work, most of us engineers, we all have different salary. I don't know how that man does like that. It depends on what you say during the interview. Some people are collecting 70, some are collecting 120. The same qualification. But that's not a good system anyway, but it tells you that if you sell yourself cheap, some people are going to buy you cheap. But you are not cheap in Jesus' name. An exceptional employee. Have a different spirit attitude, alright, that is different from others. That will qualify you for better job. Be an exceptional employee. Number 12, learn to manage your salary or income well. Alright, this will help some of us who are believing God for a better job. Become desperate. The salary, in fact, somebody said you must work to a point where and save to a point where even if you are without a job for 6 months, you are still fine. Do you understand? So when should you quit a job? You should quit your job. That does not apply to most people because people don't practice that. You should quit a job when you know that the salary, the things you have saved, can take you for 6 months without having to beg somebody for money. Is that clear to somebody? That can take you for, but most people don't fall for. That's why I say manage your salary very well. So that in case you need another job, you can decide to take a break for 3 months to look for another job or to go for a training that can push you for another job, and you are not stranded because you already have managed the salary you are collecting well. But some people cannot leave their present job now because if they leave by, they will go hungry. Do you understand? They are bound in Lagos and everywhere. You think they are happy with the job, they are not happy, but they can't stop the job. But work to a point where you can work up out from a job without any problem. Because you have managed your salary well, alright, and all of that. Number 13, make yourself valuable to your employer. Contribute what others cannot contribute. Give them what they need. Alright? Find out what your employer or your place, your organization actually need. If you are going for an interview, do a fact finding about that company. Give them what they need. Alright? And all of that. Number 14, if you must quit a job, do it well. Because this teaching will position some of us to get a better job. But if you must quit a job, do it well. Number one is that have enough savings. Don't quit a job out of defiance. Just quit. I'll just quit. You know, when people come to me and say, "Pastor, I want to quit," I can't say them well. Because when you quit a job, it will not be a problem of the pastor. Pastors know it's not difficult to manage a church member who does not have a job. It's difficult. Apart from the fact that they will demand from you, but we are fed. Only mama wash us more. Amen. So I'm always saying, don't quit your job because I may not have to give you money, but it will affect something about you somehow. But like if you quit a job at the wrong time. So if you must quit a job, number one, ensure that you have enough savings at least to take you for some time. Praise God. Number two, do it well. Don't quit a job by calling them in the company by 11 a.m. and say, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to come today. I've quit." That's wrong. You know, people do it in church. People just stop coming to church and they ask them, "Oh, I have money. I'm not coming to church again." So they carry the same disease to the work. We must quit a job. When I wanted to quit my job, I had a conversation with my boss for like 2 hours. Apart from I should do officially, right? But I sat him down. Still in touch. When we went to Lagos the other day, we drove by at Lekki at VI to interact with the company again. I let well. I sat with him for 2 hours. It's not church. It's not the kingdom. But there is a measure of wisdom I needed to apply. I told him why I'm quitting. Do you understand? I told him my plan. And I appreciated him for being a good boss to me. Alright? So I left on a smiling note. In fact, about 1 year after that, we still keep exchanging contact. I still refer some other people to that company in my name. Because I left well. You will always leave a job for a better job. You always leave a church for a better, in quote, church. There's no better church anyway. But it's good you leave well. Do you understand? You always leave your uncle or your auntie to go and get your own apartment. But make sure you leave well. So do it well. Do it the right way. Do it at the right time. There are wrong times to quit a job. Maybe I will explain that some other. There are some times that is wrong to quit a job. The pressure some people are facing today, this is a self-inflicted pressure. Because they quit their job at the wrong time. So be sure you have faith for it also. Be sure of your sustenance. Then sometimes you have to be sure you have another job. And at least not another job. Something is in the horizons of it for you. Do you understand? Don't just quit a job and you are stranded. That's the wrong way to quit a job. You quit. Maybe you have a business you want to pursue. Fine. But and don't quit a job because you are angry. You are angry that your boss talked to you any more. Shame more. You see, angry people, my mentor says, don't let anger put you into danger. Angry people, they do stuff that they regret later. "I want to talk to me and I will drop the..." And by 11 p.m. in the night, when you want to sleep, reality dawn on you. So, amen. So, don't quit because of anger. Then I will say this, quit when the ovation is loudest or loud. I think it's important. Don't quit when you are useless to the company. They'll say good riddance to bad rubbish. Do you understand? Quit when people are like, "Wow." That's when I quit my own job. I was supposed to do a project for my guy in Ghana. He has already told me, "Go and get your passport. We're traveling to Ghana to end up. We are handing a project for the government of Ghana." So I quit at that time. The ovation was loud then. So I wasn't a useless employee. I quit when I was a valuable employee. And if you must quit the church too. Okay, let me not say that. You won't quit the church in Jesus' name. These are just wisdom for life. You quit when nobody needs you again. Do you understand? The guy said, "Me got your reference accolade, tell her." But you quit to a point. He's even begging you. Say, "Please now, are we treating you unfairly? Should we increase your salary?" Do you understand? Is your department giving you problem? We can change your department. That's the best way to quit. Say, no. It's just that I have other things. That was what they were asking me in my place of work. What's the problem? In fact, some of them that know I was saying, "God spoken to you that this company will fold up." I said, "No, God didn't speak to me. I didn't have to be prove spiritual to them." Say, "You know, God told me, God didn't tell me." I just say, "I'm resigning, I'm relocating to Akure." You understand? So it's always good to quit when Sean is loudest. Do you understand? Do you understand? So it's good to leave a good taste in the mouth of your employer and your colleagues. Alright? Then if you must quit, keep giving your best till you leave. Because some people, they will quit in 3 months' time. They've already started withdrawing 3 months ago. If I still undo a project that same day, don't say, "Musha,
Don't commit anything to me, I'm going. No, no. Keep doing your job till the last time, till the last whatever. Do you understand? That is not deception. You must have told your God I'm leaving in 2 months' time, but that doesn't mean you're now going to withdraw to your shell. In fact, the fact that you are leaving in 3 months' time should make give you reason to give your best for the next 3 months. Is that clear to somebody? So don't reduce your commitment. Then number 15, that's the last one. Learn interview skills. I think I've said something about that. Learn what? Interview skills. Don't enter interview panel and they say good morning everybody, hope you are fine. You, or you enter and you are the first person to first draw the seat and sit down. So you are saying you are confident. That's not confidence. You are stupid. Because you don't enter any office and sit down without somebody asking you to sit down. Do you understand? If you enter pastor's office, I'm sorry to say, do enter pastor's office and just sit down. Pastor, office and legal. You start learning how to posture, because pastor's office is a prototype of maybe an office you will meet tomorrow. Do you enter pastor's office and just sit down on the desk and say, Pastor, how far now? If I come to my house, sleep on the floor, do whatever. But if you enter pastor's office, have some, they understand, oh, good morning, sir. A lot of people do that. Say, oh, you can have your seats. Somebody should ask you to have your seats. Even though there are 1 million and one seat in the office, there is no one that they wrote your name on. So learn those things. In fact, some people, immediately you show up, want to disqualify already, without even hearing you. Without hearing you, they have said this one cannot work for us. Because a lot of things go into interview beyond certificate, beyond your resume. Because they are dealing with a human being. They want to know your character when you are in the office. Do you understand? They want to know your attitude. They want to know whether, you know, some people will hanger you during the interview just to test how you will respond under pressure. Why are you talking to me like this? Because of this job, you have lost that job already. Those are interview, be calm. Even though they are shouting, they are doing it purposely. Do you understand? They are doing it, they are making you feel angry, they are even talking down on you. Am I saying the employer should talk down on people? No, but you should be smarter than the employer. They are talking down on you, they are saying, this thing, you don't even know anything. I know something. Don't say, you telling me I don't know anything. Because they are using that to uproot the things in your heart. They want to know how you will behave when you eventually join their company. Because you will work under pressure. Do you understand? Somebody is going to talk ill at you. Maybe your fellow, your colleague. They want to see how you will behave or how you will react. So learn of all of those things. Learn how to package your CV. I told you the difference between CV and resume. CV is general. Resume is job specific. Do you understand? So you prepare a resume based on what job or that company actually require. I'm not done, but let's stand to our feet. Did you get something? I've just done 2/3 of the teaching, and I won't push it to next Sunday. Next Sunday is a combined service. Alright, so I won't be able to take it further. I'm sure you got something. Don't forget that this teaching is not just a teaching, it's a prophecy. God is giving us new jobs in the name of Jesus. God is opening job opportunities for us in Jesus' name. God is opening new platforms for us in Jesus. I want you to talk to God this morning and say, Lord, from your word I've listened to today, I receive an impartation of wisdom. Alright, to be able to walk in the line, in the light of what I've had. In the name of Jesus, I receive impartation of wisdom. This thing is coming with favor. It's coming with favor, it's coming with grace. Begin to receive that impartation this morning. Impartation of wisdom, of favor, and of grace. In the name of Jesus. I want us to pray finally, Lord, prepare me for what you have prepared for me. Open your mouth and pray. Prepare me for what you have prepared for me. Some of you don't know what God has prepared for you. Something great is on the horizon for you. Something great, something powerful, something wonderful. Begin to pray, Lord, prepare me. Prepare me for what you have prepared for me. Prepare me for that job. Prepare me for that position, for that opportunity. Prepare me, O God, for what you have prepared for me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayer. All eyes closed. If you are in service this morning, you are not born again, or you are listening to this teaching anywhere in the world, and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to put your right hand on your chest and just pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your word I've heard. I acknowledge my sin. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life and make me your child. Today I declare I'm born again. I will live for you all the rest of my life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. If you have prayed that prayer, I declare that you are born again. So if you listen to the teaching, you can get across to us and let's get to talk much better. Father, thank you for your word we have had today. I pray for everyone that is under the sound of this word. Let the impartation of wisdom, impartation of favor, impartation of grace come upon them in the name of Jesus. Let this teaching accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it. You laid it in my heart that you are providing new jobs for your people. And as your servant, I have packaged a teaching to prepare the house for that job. I pray that none of us will miss out in the name of Jesus. I declare testimonies upon testimonies in this city of Akure where people are saying there are no jobs. I stand as your servant. I declare new job openings in the name of Jesus. Even from places that we least expect, new job openings. Teaching opportunity in international schools in this city, in government establishment, in private establishment, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. We receive into this city and into this church favorable transfers. People that will be working for a multinational and will be posted to this city, and they will join this local assembly. We also receive our members here multinational jobs. International jobs. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Did you get something this morning? You know, after this message, I wish like going to apply for a job tomorrow because I know I will get it. Amen. And that's what somebody needs to do. Don't just go and sit down and say, Pastor, it's a powerful message. Go and do something about it. Go and apply for a job.
We know that this message has been of tremendous blessing to you. For information on how you can get more of our messages and ministry materials, or how you can partner with us to bless more lives all over the world, kindly visit our website www.destinyimpactchurch.org or call the following numbers 0803-832-8650 or 0809-462-8743. Thanks and God bless you. Destiny Impact Church, empowering destinies. Jesus is Lord.